This is an interview of Pablo Lucero, his book, which is new to the world, called Made in His Image. I believe this book is perfectly timed. This is the shrink wrapper. This book by Pablo Lucero is perfectly timed for what's going on in the entire world at this particular time, because it's a highly inspiring book about the lifetime of one man who began, you know, almost not surviving at birth. Somehow, by divine power, Pablo continued to live and grow through a lifetime of tremendously unbelievable experiences, which eventually blossoms into a story that is going to unfold, I hope, in this interview of his book, which mirrors his life. But I'd like to say that the chronology of Pablo's life mirrors the chronology of creation of mankind, because mankind started almost sort of like from out of darkness. Mankind began sort of miraculously from the darkness, and Pablo began his life miraculously from near death. It's all explained in his book, which is basically a book of almost miracles. But the timing of this book mirrors the important need for the world at a time when the COVID virus has taken over the entire world. It's called a pandemic, and I think it refers to the fact that the entire world is in danger of destruction. And the survival of mankind depends on whether or not messages that Pablo is providing to us in his book is heeded to and heard and listened and read around the world, hopefully. But I would like to point out that the pandemic virus is foreshadowed. Long before we had a pandemic, we had the creation of mankind, which began very, very soon with a pandemic of what I call a hatred pandemic. And the hatred pandemic from the very beginning of mankind began with the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, if you all remember, when soon after mankind was created, mankind already defied, you know, the legendary command of God to live in the Garden of Eden in happiness, except for only one commandment was given at that time, which is, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, the book of Genesis describes how things fell apart very early in the life of mankind when evil was entered into the picture of this paradise represented by the identity of the snake. The snake began persuading Eve to defy the commandment of God. And from then on, mankind fell and hatred took over. There's a rise and fall of life on earth that are depicted in, let's say, the Hindu scriptures called the Vedanta and the Upanishads and the Nordic culture scriptures, as well as in the Book of Revelations, depicting really the battle between good and evil, between light and darkness. And so if you go through Pablo's book, you could see how Pablo goes through years of darkness and destruction and gradually evolves, like mankind hopefully will do, into the light. Before I start with Pablo, I wanted to say that my goal, Pablo, is to acknowledge your presence in this literature world and to acknowledge your entry into the world of literature. And also I wish to push your work, which I regard as divine, into the darkness of the planet. I've come to the realization, Pablo, that you did not write this book. I'm sorry to say. It was actually, I think, authored by the Creator. That's how divine I think this book is. And also, just to make things even, the shrink wrapper is not even doing this interview. This interview is a kind of an inspired one that is controlled by God or the Creator. So I think that everyone should be required to read your book, Pablo, and to know about you and your experiences. And let's say, because I think in essentially everyone will understand Pablo, because in general, I think everyone is Pablo, but they just don't know it yet. Everyone, everywhere, is living just at a different speed or rate. Everyone is actually living a life that everyone should understand when they read this book. And this book should have been written in the beginning of creation for the sake of providing insight for mankind. But unfortunately, we're just now fortunate to get this book. So hello, Pablo, at last.
Amen. Hello, how are you doing?
Okay. So thank you for being patient with that introduction, but I wanted to get all that in. I'm not sure where to begin other than to wonder what inspired you to the thought to write this book.
Well, like I said before, you know, they gave me a throwaway name when I was a baby, and I got raised up in the streets and in the crazy life with gangs and all. And I didn't think that, I didn't even know that we had a creator until one day I gave myself an overdose and they pronounced me dead at the hospital. But God got me out of that and he taught me his word. So I opened up a ministry called Barrios for Jesus, which means ghettos, ghettos for Jesus. And we started there, me and my brother and the pastor, the senior pastor, we chose him. He was also from the streets.
Yeah.
We've all been in prison together. And not me and my brother, not the pastor, but the pastor was also on that. And when we started this and then it broke up, but I kept the vision. That gave me the vision. So I opened up my own church and called it His Place. And I've been there about 35, 38 years.
Yeah.
And I visit every prison you can think of, women, men's, detention homes, and all, trying to spread out the gospel, how to see God in a different way than just read about him and think that we got it all together. No, it's not that way. The way is that we need to put in ourselves in the Lord's place so that he can bless us and help us. And that's the way I got out of it. And God's been good to me. I got married. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job when I got out of prison because if you tell them you're a felon, they don't hire you. And if you lie about it, they'll fire you next week.
Right.
So I started doing little odds and ends, and then I decided to make money not in a good way, but that's the only way that I knew. But God still was helping me out. And I worked for a lumber yard there for a while. I didn't even know nothing about lumber, you know, but I lasted there 11 years. I never missed a day, never went late. I became their purchasing agent. Then I quit that job and I went to another lumber yard for 3 years. And then from there, I went to a trucking company. They picked freight lines. I worked there 7 years. And then I got into the city and I became a supervisor there without a diploma, without knowing how to read or write.
Yeah.
I was in that department for 18 years and I retired from there. But I still kept the church. I still kept going to the prisons and so on. So, and that's the way it was up to this day. I have two girls, one boy, 18 grandkids and 23 great grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
And God had just blessed me in abundance. I don't know how to tell you, you know. I understood you were talking about in the beginning. I tell people that that the devil stole the seed and then he pollinated the seed to what we have today in this planet. We've been pollinated because we're seed, you know. And I try to tell him that as long as we don't come to the true seed, which is Christ, we'll always come short, you know. We'll always come short and don't get what we want. Then I talk to a lot of guys that say, you know, I don't take heroin no more. I'm a methadone. No, I don't smoke no more. I'm an electric cigarette. So my answer to them is that I don't serve a substitute God. I serve a God that cleans you from head to toe. And he taught me his work. His word. I can read the Bible like I went to college for many years, but that's all I know. I don't know how to read papers, magazines, letters, books.
So how did you get the? I know they asked you, how did you learn all that you learned? And you explained that God is the one who taught you, and he showed you how to understand, how to open the Bible and learn everything from the Bible. But how did you do that if you could not read?
Well, I had a desire to learn his word, to see what he was saying, because so many people talk about the Word of God, and they've been, I call it, they go to cemetery school. I say, that's, they say, oh, you mean seminar school? No, I say cemetery school. They open up the Bible and it doesn't make sense.
Oh.
The way they explain it, it doesn't jive, you know, it doesn't make sense at all. And to me, I open the Bible and it's like a picture. It's like me.
Oh, really?
I don't know how to explain that. You might think I'm on the Twilight Zone, but I open the book and it looks like I'm with him. I walk with him, and every word that's seen there, he teaches it to me. He dissects it. He opens it up, and I understand it like nothing else. You know, I don't know. And God has blessed me in that area. You know, and I have many guys that were in prison that have turned to the Lord, and some of them became pastors, some of them became, you know, they're good family men. It's all just because of the way that we understand each other and the way that that I bring it out to them so that they can understand what I'm talking about, so we can relate.
Yes.
We can read on it, you know.
So you were kind of like a substitute for the Bible. You yourself were like a living Bible, and you kind of awakened their spirituality.
That's right. You know, Bible stands for, they don't even know what Holy Bible stands for, you know. It's not gang related. I tell them, you know, that in the middle, there's a space for your name. Like, if your name is George, George goes in the middle, and then Holy Bible stands for, he only left you basic George, basic instruction before leaving earth. So this is your guidebook. This is your, you know, this is your plan for your life, for your family, for your...
Yeah, there's the material identity, but then there's the spiritual identity, which is the mission, why everyone is here on earth.
Well, we all have a mission, because I believe he calls us fishermen. And I tell him, so if he makes you a fisherman, where are you going to go fishing? A tingly beach? No, he sends you out to the darkness to bring you to the light.
Yeah.
But we're not the cleaners. We just catch the fish and he cleans them.
Yeah.
We have nothing to do with,
with,
you know, putting different aspects on them, that this is a junkie, or this is a prostitute, this is no good, this is a liar, it's a... You know, he's a rat or whatever. That's not our call.
Yeah, to make judgments of others, you mean?
Yeah, no. He loves everybody, you know. It's like if I had a crazy son that was a junkie and he stole everything from me, and then I have a daughter that's a prostitute and she took everything, and I go and meet Jesus and I accuse him of not running the planet right, and then he tells me why. Then they tell you to bring your son and daughter in, and then they tell you to choose one to go to hell. I'm sure you couldn't choose one. Neither does he, but he deals with the planet. We only deal with two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my story, you know. I tell him what. You're only dealing with two. And then the Bible also says that he's a thief. In John 10:10 says that he comes like a thief in the night. That he's a thief, you know. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I look at that different. I look at he is the author of the thief, but he's not the thief. The thief is us. When you plant a man in the house and he gets married, he has kids, and he sold the land already, so well, he got your nature in him, so naturally you're gonna get a pretty good crop, you know. That's why he says, whatever you sow, you reap. So if you come from a crazy life, you're gonna have crazy children, because you're... The woman don't got no seed. You're the seed. You plant the land, whatever you harvest, you know, sowing and reaping. So this is why we have all our kids like that, you know, because the man of the house doesn't want to straighten up.
Yeah. So let me go back to saying that when you learned about the Bible and took the wisdom from the Bible, even though you couldn't read, I wasn't sure if you then heard people at different lectures, like the seminars or something, or whether you were actually, just by holding the Bible, if you were getting pictures in your mind about what the Bible was saying. So which was it?
Yes, I took my Bible with me. But like I say, when I opened the Bible to a particular scripture, it comes to life to me so that I can explain it. I don't know how to put that, you know, how to explain it. I truly flunked kindergarten. They threw me out of recess, man. I didn't even know how to read my name. My marriage certificate reads Pablo. My name is Pablo. I put P-A-L-L-O, which is, I tell them my wife is married to a stick. Pablo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean stick. So I didn't even know how to do that, but...
Yeah, but you mined the wisdom out of the Bible without the going through the words. You went straight through the meaning without having to go through the words.
Well, no, I would, when I learned the Bible, you know, because it's like hearsay, you know, you hear, the Bible says not to subtract or add to the Word of God. So we add, you know, when the people think that the devil was a serpent. No, he wasn't. He's never been called a serpent. He's not a serpent. He's as clever as the serpent.
Right.
He mimicked the serpent to talk to the woman, and the fruit was a lie. The lie was a fruit, because whatever we become in this planet, we're rooted. We're rooted in word. We're rooted in when we go to work and we're good workers. That's our roots. We plant roots in the planet and we root ourselves. Well, lie becomes a root also, and we become professional liars
because
we're rooted. You know what I mean? And it's a fruit. It's called a fruit. Fruit of lying. You know, otherwise we will need a lawyer to lie us off of what we did, you know. Lawyer. We hire a lawyer to prove to the court that we're not guilty when we already know that we're guilty ourselves. So,
right.
I don't know how that works. Like this pandemic that we have now, you know, I know guys that, I personally know guys that gone to their test and they come back positive, but they're working, so they won't let them go to work. So then they go around the corner to another doctor and they pay him $150, and he signs the paper that they ain't got no COVID, so they go back to work. So I don't know how that works either, you know?
Yeah. You're talking about like a disability, you mean?
No, like now, like, you know, if you have the system and the symptom of having the COVID-19 and you're working, they don't let you go to work. You don't go to work.
Oh, yeah, when you have the COVID-19. Right.
But who's the one to say you have it? Because they go to get tested and they test positive, and then they hear about another doctor that you pay him $150 to the doctor, and he releases you from having the COVID. So how does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty slick, pretty clever.
Well, that's what I think. You know what I mean? So people live in fear of having... God didn't give us a spirit of fear, you know. If he took care of the people in Egypt, he can take care of us.
Did you say that he can take care of us?
Well, yeah. If he took care of the people in Egypt, then none of them got sick with all those plagues. What makes you... And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what makes us think that we're going to get it just because we welcome it, or we... Do we... what do we do, you know? Most of these people that are getting it, you know, they live in fear. They welcome it. Like, am I going to get it? Am I not doing it? And they panic themselves to be sick.
Right.
I've been sick a day in my life since I met the Lord. And let me share with you for a moment. I used to smoke 40 joints of marijuana every day.
I know.
I used to take a bottle of terpene hydric every day, 16 ounces. I used to take glue every day. I took every pill you could think of. I tell the people, I even think I took birth control pill. I'm not in the pharmaceutical department. You don't know what they give you up there, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all because you panic, and really, when I surrendered to God, I didn't need none of this. My life to God, He cleansed me from head to toe. I don't have that desire of smoking or drinking or messing around. It's all gone. It's not my part of my life no more. It's gone.
So I read in your book, I read that you had the Twilight Zone chapter about how you died from all the poison and drugs in your body, and your body went into the death condition, and you were in an ambulance pronounced dead on arrival, right?
Yes, that's the first word I ever heard. I didn't even know what it meant, but I heard it, DOA.
Yeah.
And I even asked somebody, what did they call me? What's that they call me, DOA? I was pissed. I said, what's that mean?
Yeah.
You were dead on arrival. I said, so I was in darkness, and he brought me to the light.
Yeah, but when you came out of the DOA and when they brought you back, didn't you still go back to the same drugs again for a little while?
Well, I went back to because, like I say, you know, I love my crazy life. I wasn't going to give up my crazy life for nobody, but I didn't know better. I went back to it, but then gradually it didn't mean nothing to me, and then it's when... That's when we started the ministry. When we started the ministry, I saw guys from San Antonio all over wherever we went to have meetings, to conferences, and I saw guys in the same chain booth that we were all in the same cell.
Yeah.
And I asked God that, you know, if you're for real, Lord, and this ain't a dream, this ain't something that you conjured up, but if you're for real, I want to serve you, man. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you're about. And he did it. It took time, but he did it, you know.
So there was a little delay after you came back to life. You still weren't back there. And then one day you decided to go to church with Luigi, right?
Well, I used to take her to church. She was stone Catholic, my wife.
Yeah.
But she even did the sign of the cross every time she saw me. But when she heard the word preached in the way that God brought it to her, I mean, she totally gave herself to the Lord. So I used to drop her at church and put my joints and put it out at the pastor and leave. And later on, my wife, you know, she shared with me that she used to tell, she told the pastor's wife about me. And the pastor's wife told her, don't get him riled up. Don't say nothing to him. Just pray in the spirit. She knew what he really was. And I believe that's what she did. And about a month later, I came in clean, squeaky clean.
Yeah. But it was a little time between the DOA and your spiritual birth. There was a little delay in there. And then it seems out of nowhere, you had almost like a revelation that changed you completely from black to white.
Yeah, because I was on milk. I was nursing on milk. On spiritual here and there, but then when when I started biting the meat of the matter, it helped me, strengthen me. I was no longer in milk.
Yeah, and so then you just went from one extreme, and then you went to the totally other side, very much like you remember when there was one of the apostles before he was an apostle, Saul. Was a Christianity murderer. He was looking for Christians to arrest and then have them executed. His name was Saul. And you remember the story when he was on the road to Damascus to try to hunt down Christians. Suddenly he went blind on the road. Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah.
He was a serial killer.
Yeah. And suddenly he went from black to a disciple of Christ all of a sudden.
He was in the middle because the darkness didn't want him and the light didn't want him. You know, like the Pharisees didn't want him because he didn't carry out his instructions anymore.
Right.
And the Christians were afraid of him because he was a killer of Christians, you know?
Yeah.
But sort of like that, he was in the middle, you know? He was climbing the ladder until God stopped him, you know, and gave him what he gave him, you know? And then when that's when my scales, my eyes came up.
And
really desired to, when I got down and I told the Lord, you know, if you're for real, man, I mean, I want to know you. I want to serve you in any capacity that I can, you know.
Yeah.
And my scales fell off of my eyes, and I never saw things different from that moment on. From that moment on, my little kid was a baby yet. And he never saw my crazy life at all.
Right.
I've been married 55 years, and I have, even when I was crazy, I never pushed my wife. I never told her a bad word. I never, you just... I don't know. You can ask her. You know, I never mistreated a kid.
Yeah. Well, there was a seed of divinity was inside of you even while you were living a wicked, so-called evil life. But the seed of divinity was all the time inside of you, and it just had to wait for the right time for it to germinate and come to life. It was inside you all along while you were doing all these, like you say, all these terrible things to your body and everything. You wouldn't have survived if it wasn't for that seed of goodness inside of you. And then one day, it seems like suddenly, it germinated and woke up in you.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And ever since then, you know, I got my brothers. My brother Richard is a pastor. He did a lot of time in prison.
My brother,
he did a lot of time in prison. He's my head archer at the church. My other little brother, he was there for the riots in the prison when they killed all those people. He's not right yet, but he's getting there. You know, he's asking questions. He's this, he's that, you know. He thinks that, he told me one day, you know, Pablo, this is the cards that I got dealt when I was growing up. I'm playing them, you know. And I said, well, you can, you know, you got a dead man's hand right there, you know. Why don't you? And he's learning. He'll come along also, you know.
Right. But it's amazing how many people, and you turn them back from the darkness, you turn them into the light. It's amazing how many people you turned around 180 degrees, and you're still doing it all the time, right?
Yes, because love covers a multitude of sin. Love is what does it.
Yeah.
So he loved the world, whosoever believed in him. The world, anybody, whoever, that's prostitute, junkies, whatever, liars, cheaters, killers, murderers, whomever.
Yeah, so God didn't say, oh, well, you're an ex-convict. I'm sorry, I cannot hire you on the job because you have a bad record. God doesn't do it that way.
Well, as a matter of fact, an atheist made me a supervisor in the city because I used to carry my Bible because I still had a ministry, but I had to work to support my family. So I used to take my Bible everywhere with me, like I still do now. I never without my Bible.
Yeah.
And one day he calls me, you know, and I go to his office sometimes, and he had pictures of evolution, you know, monkey from a man to all that. And I draw a little. So I used to draw and put a scripture. And one morning he called me, he said, Pablo, come into my office. I said, this guy's going to fire me. So I went into his office thinking because I was going to quit if he told me I couldn't carry my book.
Yeah.
I would have walked out. I was already there 3 years.
Yeah.
No, he said, you know, my wife got sick. I wonder if you can go pray for her. She's in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
So I went and picked up my wife, and we went in the city truck, and I went over there and prayed with her, and she recovered. And a month later, he called me to the office, and he tells me, Pablo, how would you like to be a foreman?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got my keys and I threw him in the desk, and I told him, his name was Hal Owens. I told him, you know, I'm leaving the city, man. He said, well, why? I said, I never informed on anybody. I thought you wanted me to be a foreman, an informer. You know, put a finger on my face. And I said, no, I don't do that. I said, not an informer. So I told him, I ain't got no diploma. I flunked kindergarten. They threw me out of recess, man. He said, I'll take care of it. A week later, on a Friday, we went in there and he got us all together. He said, told the people, you know, the guys there, Monday morning you take orders from Pablo. He's the supervisor now. Yeah, the only thing that separates him from me is my office.
Yeah.
So you take orders from him. And then there was one guy there, Eddie. I mean, I don't remember his name, but anyway, yeah, Espinosa. He got up, Marty Espinosa. He was sitting there, you know, and he got up and said, hey, hell, this guy can be a supervisor. So I looked at him and I said, why not, Marty? She said, you ain't got a resume. I said, what's a resume, man? I flunked in the ground, they threw me out of resume. He said, don't you know what a resume is? I said, no. He said, it's a piece of paper, and they got it a personnel, and you need it, or you can't be a supervisor without it. I said, well, I got a whole book over here that tells me I can do all things to him that strengthen me. Here, this is my resume. You can use it. And he said, does it work? I said, who's the boss, me or you?
Right. Yeah.
Years.
So do you ever feel like you're having fun talking to those, having those conversations with the disbelievers and the skeptics?
Well, I got a church full of disbelievers, homeless, people going there, guys that I used to know, guys that I don't know, guys that are kicked to the curb. This is the kind of people, that's why I called it barrio, that's why we called it Barrios for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But see, we made bylaws, me and my brother and the senior pastor that we chose to be a pastor. And the bylaws read that if the senior will fall, then he will give the mantle to the next guy that stayed faithful, and we continue going, sort of like a relay.
Right.
A relay. But when he fell, he went to California to get restored by a man named Sonny Argonzoni, which is Victory Outreach. And when he came back, he changed the bylaws and gave the mantle to his son, which I don't care. I'm just sharing that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good, but he didn't give it to me or to my brother. He just gave it, which is all right. And he turned it into Victory Outreach. So that's how come I separated myself. But I couldn't use the name Barrios because it was under their name, under his.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Up under his place. But it's the same vision. I'm still the same vision as we started. I'm still Barrios. I'm still ghettos. I still deal with... There was a guy there that knew karate one time, and he came and gave me a karate shop in the Grown. And he didn't drop me. I don't know why. But I have my Bible. I told him, I handle your kick and you handle my God. And he became one of my best friends, That's why I say, the law covers a multitude of sin, man.
Yeah. So one thing I noticed about you... You don't care who carries the Lord's message as long as the message gets carried. You just want it to be done. It doesn't matter to you who's doing it.
No, well, my goal is I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody can save anybody.
That's great. I got a few notes about how you told the story of Jesus telling the people to be the salt of the earth. The people didn't know what he meant by the salt of the earth. They took it literally. How could people be salt? And then the way you put it, you said you should treat people with respect, and then that gives them the flavor. You bring out the flavor of them, meaning bringing out their inspiration to do what they were destined to do. So that's how you interpreted the salt. But Jesus had to use the word salt that they couldn't understand literally. Many of them could not understand what Jesus meant when he would tell people things. I like the way you get to the heart of these words.
Thank you. What I saw in this, that Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. In the days of Jesus, if you go back to the time even our ancestors, when I was growing up, you didn't have refrigerators at all, but salt is a preservative.
Yeah.
And salt, they used to give us salt pills in prison in Reno, Oklahoma, because it got too hot. And, so salt helps you, with the... And then salt gives flavor to your food,
Yeah.
When you put and it's a preservative and it makes you thirsty. So when Jesus said that you're the salt, and salt in those days of Jesus was a very, very expensive commodity because it was like a refrigerator. Today,
yeah.
You pay $10,000, $5,000, $3,000, $4,000 for a refrigerator to keep you baloney because that's all you can afford.
Yeah.
And in those days, salt was a very, very expensive commodity, and they'd be robbers that would steal it and sell it. So when he saw that, he said, you're the salt of the earth, but if he loses his season, what good are you? You can't be salty again. So what he was saying was that when you walk, do people thirst for the kind of life that you live, and then you give flavor to life, and then you're a preservative because in my world, somebody did you something wrong or told you something, you had to take care of it right there, But now you become a preservative. It doesn't matter what they tell you, you're not gonna spring up and knife them or not, because you preserve their lives.
Preserve, yeah. And also, it preserves it, but it also brings out the flavor, like you say.
Yes.
Yeah. We're on the same team. We want to reach the world and find out where the salt is needed out there.
Amen.
And I hope they listen to your words today, and I hope that they would be inspired to get that book. It's from Amazon, right?
Yes.
Go to Amazon and get Made in His Image, and you've like spread the word to everyone. They never knew until you came to them. They never knew that they themselves were made in His image until you came along.
Amen.
Yeah. So keep up the faith, and I'm so honored to have a chance to talk to you, and I hope we'll talk again sometime. So do you have any things you want to say before I close us down?
Well, the honor is mine, and I lift you up in the Lord, that the Lord will open that ministry that you have and flourish through people that are hurting in this tragic days, you know, whatever is going on, you know.
Yeah.
I truly believe that we live in a society, in a world of corruption. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money. I'd like to have money, but when you love it, that's what makes it wrong, you know.
Yeah, love of money instead of the love of love. So when people take it literally, they're missing the boat. But with what you're doing with this book, I hope many people wake up to the meaning of those words, the salt of the earth, the love of money. Hopefully they will get back to you and let you know how they may have been awakened by reading this book.
Amen. So,
amen to you, Pablo. It's wonderful. And I want to thank Luigi for backing you up all these years. We didn't talk together, but maybe someday we'll be in touch too. So I want to say goodbye now to all the shrink wraparites out there, and I hope that you give your comments on this book and you go ahead and get this book, Made in His Image. So good night, Pablo. It's wonderful talking to you.